Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Well, fellas, strange days we are living in. I said there, what's happening at the state capitals? Is there anything at all happening in Albany, Jason? The budget deadline is fast approaching. Is the show going on there?
Well, you know, you're not seeing a lot of public activity at the capitals. It's on lockdown, and lobbyists and the public are not allowed into the Capitol building. But there's a lot going on behind the scenes as members are negotiating with that anticipated $178 billion budget coming down the pike by April 1st. We are hearing that the governor is still trying to put policy into the state's fiscal plan, and we're working to try to keep things like recreational marijuana out of this year's budget.
Yeah, we got to remember that that's still in session, and that deadline's fast approaching. Despite where we are with our social distancing and shutdowns, lockdowns, quarantines, whatever you want to call it, Michael, there are a flurry of legislative bills being acted upon in Harrisburg. Most of it has to do with this COVID-19, but I'll ask you the same question. Has this pretty much paralyzed the work of state government?
Well, not entirely paralyzed. Obviously, the executive branch, the governor's office and the Department of Health, et cetera, are doing the work that it needs to do related to the COVID-19. With the legislative branch, they have passed legislation that allow them to meet remotely. Some members have to show up in the Capitol, but others can be doing it remotely. So there's an interesting sort of a image I saw of a Zoom meeting of the state senators yesterday acting on some legislation there. One of the things that they've done is to put off Pennsylvania's primary election from which was scheduled for April now is not going to happen until June.
Yeah. Wish I'd invested in Zoom stock, because I have a feeling that's going to go through the roof here soon. But Jason, it's a daily occurrence. You've got Governor Cuomo's press conferences, and then you've got the president's coronavirus task force taken to the mic. And it's every day we get these almost, it seems like, mixed messages. You're hearing one thing from President Trump in quite a different tone that you're getting from Governor Cuomo. And it's got a lot of people anxious, not knowing what to believe. Talk about that messaging problem that seems we're having in New York right now.
Yeah, you do. You see that inconsistency that's occurring. And frankly, I think there's a little politics that's going on, more than a little, with some of the different messaging. This is serious. There are concerns with coronavirus. In New York particularly, we're at the epicenter of this, and so we are seeing a different tone from Governor Cuomo than perhaps you're seeing from President Trump that's trying to calm the nation. So there's two different fronts, if you will, that are being fought, one more locally being felt more than the other. But let's not also forget that there is a political battle that's going on. The governor is facing a likely $15 billion deficit in that budget that's due, and he is posturing to get as many dollars as he can out of the federal government. So while I think this is a serious problem, no doubt there's also some political rhetoric that's being employed to try to twist arms to get more dollars for the Empire State.
Yeah, and you know the governor knows he's got a national audience there at those daily press conferences, and he's taking full advantage of that. Governor Wolf as well, some have suggested that his emergency powers may have stepped over the line. There's litigation before the state Supreme Court on that front. He kind of moved first, shutting down all the schools even before Governor Cuomo did. What are your thoughts, Michael, on the governor's emergency powers? Is he justified in taking the action that he's taken?
Well, justified in some respects, but it's been broad and sweeping in many respects in terms of the businesses that have been listed for closure. Dave Taylor, a friend of mine from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, described it as an eeny, meeny, miny, moe sort of list that didn't include some of the stakeholders that are involved. Just yesterday, I talked to a home builder who told me that his company was in the midst of rebuilding a home for someone whose home burned down, and they were nearing completion, trying to get it closed in so they could turn on the heat in there and protect the home and close it out, and the state police came by and shut them down, and he's having to appeal to the state government just to be able to finish that. when you think about the crowds that are going to grocery stores and others, a few workmen on a home site makes sense, and yet they're shut down from doing that.
Yeah, it does seem a little arbitrary. Of course, the House voted today on this $2.2 trillion coronavirus economic stimulus package. Not going to call it a bailout. Some people are calling it that, but it definitely is a lifeline to our country to kind of get us over this hump. But wanted to know how this would impact you, Jason, as a not-for-profit. I know you had to cancel your biggest fundraiser of the year recently because of COVID-19. How does this help you at all and the people you employ?
Well, I think that's the question that remains to be seen. I mean, obviously, when you cancel your biggest fundraiser of the year, there's an immediate economic hit there on our organization. But really, it's the mental state of what's going to happen with donors across the state, and it's going to be reflected in what their accounts are showing. And so if the confidence is there in the market and the market comes back, then people are more willing to donate to nonprofit organizations like Michael's and myself. But if they do not, and if there is concern and if there is fear out there, then no doubt churches and their nonprofit ministries are really going to feel the pinch this year. And so, you know, we're frankly tightening the belt and trying to prepare for whatever may come in the rest of 2020.
Yeah. Is Planned Parenthood still doing abortions today in Pennsylvania, Michael?
Sadly, yes, they are. Amazingly to most folks, but to those of us who know Planned Parenthood, not so amazingly, they are focused 100% now in Pennsylvania on abortion. They announced this week that they were stopping any services, mammograms. Well, they never did mammograms, but stopping the family planning and other things that they're doing and doing 100% abortions and staying open, using critical medical supplies and masks and respirators and other things that should be used for fighting COVID-19 to instead take life. Governor Wolf should act and should stop Planned Parenthood from doing these elective abortions.
Boy, and I tell you, with the need for all of the medical equipment, supplies, masks, all of it, I can't even believe we're even having that conversation. But that's shocking to me, and nothing really shocks me these days. Jason, you've sent out a letter to all of your supporters talking about the strategic moment that this pandemic presents the church. Explain a little bit what you mean by that.
Well, I think we're at an interesting moment in church history, in American church history, where the church needs to really just look up and say, what is God doing at this moment, and how can I align with that? You know, we have churches that only 2-3 weeks ago still were not live streaming. They were hesitant to get involved in online outreach, those types of things. And overnight, there's been a shift that has occurred. And now churches that were not online before are seeing 4 times or 5 times. I heard from one church that it is 20 times their viewership through their online services than were occurring on their Sunday morning services physically in the building. Now, I miss the fellowship of being with other believers, but I am thankful and grateful for the fact that there are people that are tuning in who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ that are seeing these types of devotions and messages across the web. God is doing something despite this, and believers need to ask themselves, what is it, and how can I be a part of that?
Yeah. You know, the president, Michael, likes to say the cure can't be worse than the disease, and to me, that's the one thing I look at is when we're Monday morning quarterbacking this, whenever that is, you begin to wonder, is there any silver lining here? Jason mentioned what's happening with the online churches and just the explosion. I've seen friends of mine who I never thought would come to a saving knowledge of Christ, and it's just amazing to see that. But you've had to cancel your March for Life, and which was a huge event. Not cancel, postpone. You had to postpone that, which was huge. And you know, nobody wants to do these kinds of things. It's not American to shut down. But what would you say is the silver lining in this national emergency that we're all struggling through?
Well, number one, a lot of families are getting together and spend time together that they didn't have before. Moms and dads connecting with their children in ways that they haven't before. We're discovering things about each other. So that's one of the things. And then the other one that you just mentioned, Bob, through this crisis, people are coming much more into the reality of their own mortality. When you have a pandemic and you see death tolls, people start thinking about, where am I going to go? What happens if I die? Yeah. And that presents a wonderful opportunity for sharing the gospel and spreading the love and the opportunity that God gives for all to have eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Amen. There's no better way to end the show than with that thought. But if you want to learn more about the great work going on at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, Michael, where can they find you?
PAFamily.org.
And stay informed on the issues in Albany as well. Jason, what's your website, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.